We're getting closer to the end. It is the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel's Runaways TV series on Hulu, episodes 7 and 8. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us as we dive deeper into the world of Runaways on its final season. We're going to spoil the heck out of the episode 7 and episode 8. So if you haven't watched them yet and you want to join the conversation, go take a look at them first. Come back, give us a listen, and then give us your feedback at Facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Send us a tweet at Bennett Bros Pod or send us an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com.
Like anybody listens to this part of it,
well,
they zip through
they
it.
Should. I just gave away the code to win money. They missed it. They missed the code to win the money, Jerry.
That was a good code.
It was a good code, wasn't it? Luckily, they have nothing called reverse or rewind on there. If you want to check out our previous podcast, go to BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com or check out any of the other podcast sites you may get your podcasts from. And finally, I want to mention Bennett Brothers Podcast, the Patreon site. I am stumbling and bumbling all over this today. Go to the Patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast to get minicasts. Get those. You just have to donate. Minicasts are great things to listen to on your free time.
The February minicast is going up this week.
Ooh, February. Made it. Good. It's a good time for it. But yeah, go there, check that out. You'll enjoy it, and it helps us out. All right, Jerry, do we have any news we want to touch on?
Nope. I want to get right into this because we got to go.
Got to go.
Because we might be doing a Birds of Prey podcast involved in this, some sort of long-named Birds of Prey, because we saw it. But we'll talk about that in the next podcast. This is about Runaways, episode 7 and 8. Episode 7, we're going to talk about first. It is titled Left Hand Path, which is the name of the movie. And what did you think of it?
I'm still trying to figure out what left, as opposed to the right-hand path, that left-hand path. Do you know why it was titled that?
We will discover as we go through
okay.
this.
Basically saying we don't know. We'll figure out if we can figure it out as we talk. No, I really enjoyed this episode. And what an ending. What an ending. No, I liked it a lot.
Oh, it's all about the ending, huh? Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all about the ending for this one. But no, I liked it a lot. You?
All right. Oh, I enjoyed this. The show is picking up steam. It's being a solid third season. And let's get into it as we do, as we always do, try to decipher Jerry's notes. Having said that, we, both of us, have just seen 7 and 8. We still haven't seen 9 and 10, which is good for this particular podcast. And it's also not going to be too much more confusing. So, episode opens up with Molly and a floating phone. And Carolina can't hear Morgan Le Fay's voice like the rest of them can. Did you pick up on that?
I did not.
What does that mean? She's like, I can't hear their voice. They all hear her talking.
Because she's part alien, extraterrestrial.
Yes. Texter-terrestrial. Molly punches Chase when he goes for the phone. Bam. Doesn't kill
him. I'm angry. Yeah.
Carolina tries to blast the phone. Blast is misspelled in my notes. It says last phone, but I figured out it's blast. Spelled correct. It's part of the journey here, folks. Part of the journey. Molly tries to beat them, but Carolina eventually does blast the phone. And Molly has no memories of any of this.
Nope. Teenagers and their phones. Can't get rid of them. Is this a metaphor? Is that what's going on here?
Yes. They're on the party line, they call it. The kids always talk about the party line. Like, remember that whole sequence in the very trendy, very popular, very now, Bye Bye Birdie, when they all get on the power thing and they're all singing the song Going Steady or whatever,
oh,
and they're talking.
That is
really right there.
And you're playing it right now in the background, right?
No, God. That yeah. definitely won't. Unless we were talking about Stacy. Yes. It happens. Unless it didn't, then it's really awkward. Maybe it's crickets. All right, here we go. So we cut to Nico, and she is sleeping in the coven. And the witch who took Max's memory starts talking
she's not
to her.
She's not just sleeping in the coven. She's sleeping with the coven. What happened that night? What's going on here? They're waking up after a party.
They're all completely dressed, though. So we see that witch who actually took Max's memory from the last episode is talking with her. And then the dad comes.
Do you think we'll see Max again?
No.
Maybe that was the end of Max?
Max is gone. What's her dad's name again? Robert.
Robert, yeah.
Yeah, Robert. Robert's talking to Morgan. Mm-hmm. The parent's name on this show kills us. I get the kids because of the book. Thank God I get that. Otherwise, it'd be like, welcome to the podcast where we have 14 characters and I don't know any of them but the dinosaur. So that would be bad.
Well, the kids have like unique names.
Yes, it helps.
Carolina, Nico, Alex. I mean, Robert is not a, you know, sorry for all the Roberts out there, but it's not one of those memorizing names where you just
Speaking of Robert, he's completely under Morgan's spell. And Morgan wants Nico by her side, but she also really wants her staff of one. So it's all about kind of getting that staff. Never mind, I'm not going to do that joke. All right, so...
no.
I've got written down here, it can make the purple haze effect temporary, except when it's not. What the heck am I talking about here?
Purple haze effect. I think maybe you're referring to the fact that Morgan is like influencing like Robert, and she can put her influence over people, and sometimes it's temporary. Sometimes
I don't know what I did. Maybe it'll decipher. Again, the podcast is a mystery, folks. You're on the journey with us. We do like the show, but time is going by when we do these two episodes. It's easier when we do it. We either do it one episode each, which we're dead on the money, or we do a recap of five or six when we don't have to get so specific. This one is just, it's like yowza. Yowza. All right. So Tina is drugged, and she can't cast spells in. Okay, I got it now. All right.
Here we go.
Nico's mom, she is being kept in the Veritas Gardens ward, and she's been drugged, and so she can't cast any spells. And I do enjoy that sequence when the quote-unquote nurse is adjusting her IV, and you see Tina trying to make a spell, and the nurse is like, you don't think we're dumb enough to do that, like leave you here to do that. I was like, oh, that's very clever.
It's not
that's a villain who's not being stupid, at least in this particular moment.
This coven knows how to dampen powers, because we also get it later, I think in the next episode, where Carolina can't use her powers because they're in a room where you can't use your powers. So they know what to do with, you know, how to take away people's powers.
So Nico travels back to the gang's hideout, the hostel, if you will, and she makes sure that the staff where she hid it is safe. And then she starts fighting with Carolina over helping Alex. And I did note in this moment, it's like where Nico's like, we need to do this. And Carolina is basically, she offers no solution. She's like, we can't do it. Well, then what should we do? I have no solution.
Of course.
Like, well, then do it. It's you don't have a point counterpoint here. So there's really, she looks wrong in this conversation.
There's one moment where next episode where Carolina actually is in the right, but she's very much in the wrong for a lot of this. She's just kind of saying things to hear herself speak. Also, is this the moment where we find out that Doctor Who is not the password?
That's next scene. Yeah, Gert is trying to get in the computer, and it deletes the computer files when she types in Doctor Who. Meanwhile, Nico wants to go see her mom, and she does, and she frees her.
Well, so Nico is very scared about her mom, about what's happening, but at the same time, I'm going, her mom's a terrible person.
I know. I don't want to beat that into the... I know.
She deserves...
We do beat that into the ground a lot. Me, specifically, is like, yes, they murdered the children. But the show is apparently it did a 180, and then it wasn't even a slow turn.
Well, the villains. It changed everything.
But they at the beginning of this season they were still you're monsters. Then all of a sudden you're misunderstood. And then you're fine. So
I don't know if they're you're fine yet, but
it seems like
Alex definitely wasn't like, Mom, you're fine.
Well, Alex was possessed.
He's also possessed at that point. Yeah.
So the kids put a video message on the internet at Leslie's office to try and get this information out about don't use the phones. Meanwhile, Jeffrey goes and visits Morgan Le Fay, and he wears a necklace, which is going to use to help get Alex back.
Yeah, so you're going to explain to me Jeffrey's motivations, right? You're going to explain like why his character, who's lost his wife, whose son he hasn't seen his son, and he's just like. He's with some other woman. He's taking care of
that baby. 6 months
have
gone by. At a certain point, you got to go like, oh, well.
I lost my wife and my son. I'm going to go help this other woman who I was against, and I'm going to take care of that baby.
I would agree that if he was like Robert and had the necklace on earlier, I would have bought it more. Now that he's under their power, but why did he do it?
Here's what I think. If this character wasn't in the show right now, it wouldn't make a difference. This character brings nothing to the show. Zero. This whole season, he's brought nothing to the show. They don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, we get to a sequence where they're all the other kids are together, and Molly is looking when they meet Leslie, Carolina's mom, and she's kind of giving her the side eyes, and she doesn't trust her, which is going back to that references of what does she have against Leslie based on what Dale had said to her, is what I'm getting.
Yeah,
at.
Well, interesting.
We find out that the video has been deleted. They try to make a new one, but the camera doesn't see them, so the magical spell has now made them invisible to the camera, which I thought was clever.
Yes.
Tina confronts Robert. She sees that he's wearing the necklace. She breaks the enchantment on there, and they kiss. And then they're looking for the book. And I wrote down here, Darkhold? Which would be the book from The Shield, which Agents we talked about. Yes.
And yes. So I want to, like, I think this season has definitely been the Nico Tina season. If you were going to pick main characters, these are the ones. I mean, Alex may be in the beginning of this, but these are the main characters. We're following their story. Obviously, Tina has the witch power, so she's fighting another witch. Nico has been the main runaway. I mean, would you disagree with that?
No, I don't know. I mean, there's percentages of that. I would definitely see, like, it does focus, but then we have these other storylines. I would agree with you. No, I mean, like, Molly's storyline and with her parents. And I mean, they all still have storylines, and we're definitely seeing more with Gert and Chase, but it is not as prominent or as story-driven as Nico's storyline.
Oh, yeah. Nico is the storyline, whereas Alex was the storyline probably the first two seasons.
Like, I would agree a little more with that, yeah. So we get to the sequence where Leslie confronts Molly, and she gives her they have to talk about the parents. And you can see Molly wants to strike her, and she hates her, and she's crying. So this is the whole thing that she finds out that Leslie was the one who had her parents killed. They all did, but she was the main point of that. The digital Janet captured the kid's video, so she actually has a reference to it, and so she's talking with Victor and Stacy.
Yeah,
you know Stacy.
Oh, no. So Janet becoming a computer now, I'm all for that. I think it's a way her character died, but it's still getting redemption.
No, this is it makes her stand out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And she talks about they're going to create a virus for the phones.
Yes.
So, again, parents are turning out to be... Turns out at the end of the series, they're the real heroes.
Yeah.
It's okay to kill 17 children. Yeah. So Vaughn talks with Molly about the... Molly's... Oh, I'm sorry. Vaughn talks with Molly's boy toy. His name is escaping me right now.
I can't remember either.
And then he talks with Molly.
Thank God we get an answer to this later on, because this relationship is so forced.
Well, it's showing Molly's naivete.
Yeah,
and her,
I can just. I mean, I wrote down here. I can picture the writers' room conversation, like, and then she's gonna meet this boy, and he's. But luckily, they kind of answer the show's smart. It answers why this is happening later on, and
yes,
Molly just
being. Yeah, I agree.
You know, young and naive.
Nico makes a smart statement. So he goes, he wants to actually see Alex before she gives Morgan Le Fay the staff. Jeffrey is at the company Wizard, and he's talking to Victor and Stacy. Clearly, he's under the influence, and he captures them by saying, they do the cliche, right in this room, please go first.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of...
No, you lead the way. No, you. No, you.
I want to point this out. So one of the witches in here, there's like two other main witches. There's a bunch of them, but there's two other main ones. The one called Bronwyn, I believe is the name of it. I might be getting that wrong. But interesting enough, the actress, who I don't have the name of, she played Pansy Parkinson in Harry Potter. So she played one of the villainous Slytherin.
I like how you say, like, people know who Pansy Parkinson is.
Well, she's one of the villainous Slytherin women, girls at Hogwarts.
That makes Crabbe and Goyle seem like megastars when you mentioned
Pansy
Parkinson. Pansy
Parkinson.
Yes. All right.
Oh, but it's cool. I mean, it's good that she is a Harry Potter actor. She was in a bunch of the movies. So,
what was the name once they got rid of Crabbe? What was the name of the other guy that Goyle was with?
I don't remember his name.
Come on, you're supposed to be my Harry Potter guy. He's like a main guy. He's not Pansy Parkinson.
He's a main
guy
in the movies, not in the books. Ah. That character was created for the movies because the actor playing
Crabbe
got arrested in real life and he had legal trouble, so they wrote him out and they brought in another character.
Ironically, he died in the books, but Goyle died in the movie.
Yes. Spoiler.
He was killed by Pansy Parkinson. Yeah, all right.
So, yeah, sidetracked.
That's okay. So then Molly goes and shows her boy toy her powers. She hates stone benches. Like, people going in there later, like, I was going to have a sit down. Like, every bench is broken in here, but she smashes the benches.
Okay, keep going.
Morgan Le Fay shows Nico Alex in the mirror. Robert overhears what's going on. He's listening. Meanwhile, Dale is with the kids, and they're looking for Molly. And then the two witches you mentioned earlier, they're walking around. We see that. Robert is opening up the bookcase into the secret room, and he finds the Darkhold book.
The Darkhold. Ooh.
And Morgan
that is pretty cool.
Morgan feels this. Now, he's got the book, And we find out later what he's doing, which I thought was really clever with his glasses. And we'll talk about that when that happens. But if that was the case, he should have just left the freaking book there.
True.
But whatever, that's fine.
Well, you could take the book away so she doesn't have it then at that point. The fact that they were using the Darkhold, that's the brilliance that I look for in the Marvel cinematic, the television universe. It's such a small crossover.
They call it the Ike Perlmutter universe.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know why you would call it that, but all right. But I mean, that's what I want. Like, they're just touching on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's great. I mean, obviously we're not getting any of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on this show, but we're getting something, and that's good. I like that. Thank you.
Which one of these characters, any of these characters, will show up in the MCU official will always be interesting. If you had to guess out of all of the Marvel TV characters, I'm not talking about Agent Carter and I'm not talking about Jarvis because he's already showed
up. Yep.
I'm talking about characters created. So Nick Coulson. So which character would you say is the best chance out of all of these shows to show up in the MCU? I have two. Go ahead.
Sky would be a really, obviously, because
you
Sky,
mean Quake?
Quake
Sky. What is it, yeah. Season one? Get out of here.
Daisy, how's that sound?
That's much better.
She seems to be a leading...
Never going to happen.
I guess my other one would be Ghost Rider.
Never going to happen. Latest rumor, by the way, is a female Ghost Rider. There was a female Ghost Rider briefly in the books, and so they want to do that. That's the rumor. You heard it here third, folks. Jerry's guess that if any of these characters...
Did you say your own name? You're just third person yourself.
Jerry never does that. Jerry's getting mad right now. All right, so I would guess is we will see the John Bernthal, who played the Punisher, will show up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Or Kingpin.
I think that would be a good choice, but I think if we see any of them, the Punisher will show up because he's the biggest name. And honestly, his role, he did. I mean, most of the actors on these shows
do such a good job. I think he.
But, yeah, I think so too. I mean, that would be. I mean, obviously, there's ones we'd like to see.
Daredevil would be great.
Agreed. I think Punisher though is the one that they can look at and say like, oh, he definitely has the biggest cachet of. We can bring this character.
I wonder
in.
If
People
we'll get
Punisher.
A crossover. You know, maybe not to the movies, but to a Disney Plus Marvel.
Well, that's
show.
As long that doesn't matter because as long as it's in the MCU, then
I'll take
I'm good.
That. I mean, that. Why not? Why not? And again. The crossover from the Netflix shows to the television shows hasn't been much. There's been a couple of mentions of names during the Luke Cage and Iron Fist, but that's about it. Mentions of names to Cloak and Dagger.
Obviously, Cloak and Dagger, which we're getting to, ties in with this show, which makes this show then tie in with Luke Cage. So it is
all part of this
connected
to the television universe. So.
All right, so wrapping this episode up, Morgan, we find out, does not have a soul, and she is getting her revenge against Tina. She takes Robert's healing gas back.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really
smart.
Yeah,
so we see this
scene. She was keeping him alive.
Yes, we see this scene where Robert releases gas. He's letting gas out this whole time here. A lot of gas coming out.
Holy boo.
All right, so then... We come back and we see that the boy toy was working.
Bodie is his name.
Ah, that's why my comic here says boy body was working with two
body.
Witches. Boy body. Like, why does it say
with
body?
Boy toy.
I know, I'm body. Body. All right.
Bodie.
He's working with the two witches.
Yes, this explains so much.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
And
so.
They knock out the kids and Dale, except for Molly. Molly is not there. She's off someplace differently. Robert gives Nico his glasses, see the world as I saw it, and he dies, or as my notes say, does.
Nice. So he dies here. I thought this is, I mean, obviously it's a big, because we lost another parent, kind of. We keep losing parents, but they also keep coming back.
So that's each couple except for basically Stacy. Yeah, because even you could talk about Carolina's dad, either real or
Jonah.
Stepdad, because the other guy's gone too.
Yeah.
So every couple has lost it, except for what I would consider the most sympathetic of the couples,
yes.
Where both parents, I mean, like Alex's parents both seem evil. Carolina's, you know, Jonah was monster and Leslie was kind of fine.
She's coming, turning around.
You know, Chase's parents, Janet was fine, but Victor's bad. And then, you know, so it was like, Gert's parents and Molly's to a certain degree. You like both of them. You're like, they're both good old folks.
I thought Robert's death was a little dramatic. A little, I'm going to die.
Well, it's final.
And it's final. But I like that they did it. Again, taking that step forward where it's they're just doing it. They're killing people, and that's great.
I saw Nick had a great point. He goes, Digital Janet had an affair with him. They were together for a while, so shouldn't she be there or at least feel it also, kind of a situation? Because she was tied closely with him too, but they kind of ignore that. So it reminded me of that. So we cut back, and Nico is now at the hostel alone, and she's got candles, memorial for her dad. And I've written down here so many candles.
So many candles. I wish this would have been a nice moment to have Old Lace come in and be with her. Because Old Lace is there. And she's like, no one's here. But Old Lace is still there. You can have it. And that'd been nice to have Old Lace come in. Because, again,
here, boy.
Old Lace is a part of the team. Might as well.
And we find out that the glasses recorded the Darkhold. I'm guessing it recorded. He sped read through the book and called the pictures, whatever. Or maybe the glasses can scan through pages. I don't know. But whatever. He captures the Darkhold, which I liked. We see that the witches have now tied up everyone, including Stacy and Victor. How did they get Stacy and Victor? Oh, never mind. They were captured by Jeffrey. That was right.
Yes.
So that was that group. So there's a spell that's being used to stop Carolina from powering up, like you talked about earlier. I've written down here, cool staff. Maybe Nico used the staff, but maybe she was calling the staff, whatever. Cool staff, because she emerges from her, like it does in the comic books, comes out of her chest. I like that. And it calls forth Cloak and Dagger, which I wrote down here is now connected because of the Luke Cage connection. And that's where the episode ended. And that was the greatest. Again, Cloak and Dagger was an okay TV series, and season two was a real struggle. But I love the characters, and I thought the actors did a great job in the roles.
The actors did a great job.
So,
and there was a couple of really awesome episodes.
Oh, there absolutely was.
The one where they go to the oil rig, and they're reliving time over and over again.
Absolutely.
That's one of the highlight episodes. That's probably the best episode for that show.
But I love the fact that they brought him here, and I was like very excited for him. So they show up.
And you know
up.
What? When you see them, I miss those characters. I saw them. I'm like, yeah, I really like both of those characters, their relationships with each other and all that kind of stuff. And they were getting even better. I would have liked to see more of them.
Well, like I said, I think season one was better than season two on that show, so who knows? But anything can happen. That brings us to episode 8, Devil's Torture Chamber. Joel, thoughts about this episode before we talk about it?
This is the best episode of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, it's exciting. We'll find out. I'm not sure if I thought it was that good or not, because there's been some good episodes I really enjoyed and we've talked about as you go back and listen. Or if you're Ryan Paluch in about 8 months from now when he listens to this. Hey, Ryan, how you doing? I hope you're enjoying these podcasts because he's just now
Thanks,
in
Ryan.
Season one. All right, so Cloak and Dagger mention. I love this here. They first thing they're talking about, they talk about Morgan Le Fay and...
like King Arthur?
Yes, he goes, that mentions King Arthur. I'm like, yes, somebody mentioned that this is actually a real...
These two are
fictional
awesome in this
historical
series.
Character. Yes.
They literally have no reason for being there other than...
Well, Cloak is also a very smart kid.
Uh-huh.
I love that because I don't feel his TV show really took advantage of that. Never really got into his book smarts, if you will.
I would never have said that.
His book smart. He was really smart, but they didn't take advantage of it the way this show does in this episode. Nico created a disturbance. That's what brought them there. Cloak and Dagger, we have to remember they've actually been to the Dark Dimension in season one because this Dark Dimension was where we were at 2 episodes ago when we... Went back into...
With the magician, yeah.
Yes. So we get a mention of Roxxon Oil here.
Yeah. When you see, and this is a Marvel thing, and maybe it's, I guess it's DC too, but superhero thing, when you have two superheroes meet, who are the good guys, but they don't know each other, I'm sitting there going, oh, we're going to have to have a little fight here, the same way like Thor and Iron Man had to have a fight, or Captain America and... No, Thor and Iron Man
had
to have a fight. Like, you always have to have them fight a little bit.
Do you dislike that or like that?
I don't, there's no stakes. That's all. When you watch those things, you're like, they ain't going to kill
each
other.
Yeah, but still, you want to look
cool.
at a page when the thing is punching Hulk or whatever. You want to see that a little bit.
Yeah, so I thought they were going to go more with it. They didn't, but.
We get to the scene where all of our characters, like I said, they mentioned Roxxon Oil, which I thought was really cool. And then they go back to the sequence where all our characters are tied up and Chase knocks over the chair, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, his legs aren't actually tied. So I'm like, if you're tied to the back of the chair, but your feet are touching the ground, he could just lean forward and stand up. He could have easily stood up.
He had to go down to get to the level, so I'm buying that.
I know, but the whole point is if your legs aren't tied, like right now, if I'm tied to the chair, unless the chair is really heavy, I'm going to stand up and walk around like Quasimodo with a chair.
But he needs to get his hands by her hands. Yeah. The part that bothered me about this is everyone is so negative to Chase. Like, oh, way to go, Chase. You fell down. Good job. And he starts doing it. You never hear them go, Oh, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I was really wrong about what you're doing here. They never do that. It's Gert going, oh, way to go, Chase. We cannot forget that Gert is, like, just awful to him. She's awful to him throughout this whole
season.
And
why is she awful to him?
Well, we thought it was because she was her mind got taken over by the phone, which it did.
That was, yeah, but she was disliking him beforehand. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember, like, did he cheat on her
she found someone else, remember? She sees the other guy and she's
there was something in the end of season two that they were kind of like drifting apart.
He
went back to the dad. That's, she took that as a betrayal, even though she's fine with her parents now.
They're wanting us to forget that. Like, oh, by the way, she dumped him. She doesn't want to be with him anymore. They don't want us to forget that, but they want us to, like, Chase is the sympathetic one. He gets
bullied. But relationships in shows, they don't, like, her, even Nico and Carolina, which you would think they'd want to show. As a show like this would want to show a positive relationship in all sorts of its diverse ways, they, even them, want there to be conflict. Maybe not as much as Nico and Chase. Gert and Chase, but they don't want Sam and Diane. They want to, like, it's better when they're arguing, and then they come back together and
it's
arguing.
True. They had the Gert chasing after Chase, right? The good looking.
I'm looking forward to our final podcast on this.
Trying to flip the script and go, No. This is Chase chasing after Gert, who is not the atypical female in these shows.
Agreed. I can't wait to when we have our final, next time we do a podcast on this, because I want to have a discussion about where the Runaways are in the comics today.
Sure.
And the differences of the certain characters here, because I keep bouncing back. And we've talked about, I told you, we'd already discussed how when Alex was revealed that I told you, like, Alex died in the books, mm-hmm. but he came back and he was in hell for a while. There's other characters I want to talk about specifically that I thought was interesting that the show has not done, or maybe it'll do in the next two episodes. I don't know. That's why I don't want to wreck it yet. So we see a very cool, again, Chase frees Gert in this sequence. We cut to and we see Janet on a computer, and she's like done like two-bit, like a Matrix. I love that.
Yeah,
that was
great.
Really
it
cool.
Was great.
She should have been talking like a computer.
I wanted to mention a couple of things because you went and reached the computer. So they get out, and eventually the team is able to get to. The team is able to get back to the hostel, right?
You're jumping ahead.
Nico and them, they go to the building.
I've got the order here. They free Gert, and then I said we see the cool Janet on the computer, and a Cloak. Basically, that's with Nico and Cloak and Dagger are looking at the computer back at the hostel, and then Cloak brings Nico, and they arrive where the gang is at.
I thought the Janet is later, but okay.
No, it was right there. So they see her on the computer. She's talking about where they're being taken and everything. And that's why then Cloak takes them there. Nico gives Carolina her powers back. And then the three witches were coming as she binds the three of them, mm-hmm. which was great. Cloak takes the adults Hollywood sign.
I want to mention this before we get to that. There was a moment when they're in the hostel with Nico and Tandy and Ty. But Tandy's like, easy Hot Topic. Dude, I laughed out loud. I thought when she called Nico Hot Topic, I thought that was perfect. It's like, yeah, you should be working in Hot Topic. Everything about you says you should be working in Hot Topic.
Whoa, whoa, slow down there, Spencer's Gifts.
Ooh, yeah.
Joel walks in, like, who am I? Relax, Suncoast Motion Picture Story. No, and Joel's like, yes!
Suncoast? Wow.
I don't know.
Listen, Fredericks of Hollywood.
Yikes. Oh, I'll take it. All right.
We're just going to go through and name stores and malls.
What do you want to be? Cold Stone Creamery? Ant. That's my name. I'm Ant. What's the worst one you could be called? Well, look who's coming. Mr. Dippin' Dots himself.
It's the future of ice cream, still.
I think I had that one time.
It's so
dry. Yeah, exactly. The future of ice cream.
And I also want to point out this scene. There was also a lot of recapping what happened on Cloak and Dagger. Jerry, you mentioned like the
last
one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They're like, we got, because there might be people watching the show who have never watched Cloak and Dagger.
So we
got
to get to now before season three comes out. Wait, what? What? Oh, raspberries.
Okay, so you were talking about, so Ty transports them to the Hollywood sign.
Yeah.
The graphics weren't the greatest on this. When they're actually in front of the Hollywood, like they get the wide shot, they're not in front of the Hollywood sign.
Hey, don't spoil it.
And I thought it was real. It's a little. it doesn't look great. They've done better. In fact, I feel like they might have blown their budget a little bit on some of these things, because there are a couple special effects coming up that I'm like, You've been better.
So Dagger uses her powers and she blasts Jeffrey, and the gang says, "Don't kill him." And they call him good. He's good. Kind of. I'm like, he's not good.
No, he's not good.
Why are you? Okay, fine. Saving him. I don't know why. He killed 17 children. Cloak takes the gang back to the hostel, and then they go into the dark dimension.
Yep.
But that's exactly where they go. When I say they go back to the hostel, they go back to the hostel in the dark dimension. Yeah, that version of it. We see a bunch of swords in a box. I swear the one sword they pull out is the Lord of the Rings sword. Oh. I think it's not Sting. It's the one that they get forged anew.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's that sword. It was the black saber from Mandalorian. We see the house not underground, so we're in the past, and we're seeing the house. Yeah. But I'm saying that was pretty cool. I didn't think about it until, like, oh yeah, I guess that is the house before the landslide.
That was pretty cool, and they actually mentioned that, like, oh, it looks pretty nice. I also, there's a moment here where Chase is like, is there walk? He's like, this racially diverse band of youths is back, and he's like, well, yeah, except for me. I thought that was, like, it's so meta. Like, look at all the different types of people we have on here. And then you have Chase, who's just the typical white
man. But that makes part of the diverse. That makes it different.
Huh? I know. But I thought it was meta, and I liked the way he said it. I thought that was really good. Chase is really funny in this episode.
Hashtag runaways so white. It's not trending.
So, yeah, they're in the dark dimension, and this is when we see the burnt-out Los Angeles.
If LA is burning. Alex, meanwhile, is in his cell.
LA Burning, it is reminiscent of the season one when Chase is on the television from the future,
yes,
telling his dad, you know, don't do the Fist of Gods or whatever he said to him there. It reminded me of that. They really want to burn LA in this world. Obviously, that was reference to opening the portal that was under the construction site, but this reminded me of that.
We see Alex in a cell with his mom, and he's all bloody.
There she is. They brought her back.
Yes. And we see Darius arrives here. These are, I guess we'll have to assume these are all demons, as we saw previously when we had Nico's sister show up.
Demons or, I mean, yeah, because
some work for and some work against. Because wouldn't you say the mom is working for Alex?
Nico's sister was actually Quentin, the Great. Remember?
Yeah, but who is he?
Well, he's the guy who owned the house. So,
but I mean, what is he? I
we
guess
don't know.
You know.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. Is this The Shining? Are these just the ghosts of the Overlook Hotel? I don't know.
Nice.
So the dark dimension. They talk about this on Cloak and Dagger, which again you mentioned earlier. They mentioned that it was actually a record store and a mall on there, and I'm like, that's exactly what it was. And they had some weird villain who never really worked out really good. Dagger starts having some flashbacks. And when we're on this city street, it really looks like the Universal back lot. It's like you can see where the Seinfeld crew would run around outside. They're, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, anytime a street goes, but then there's like a turn.
Yeah.
It's like, why is there a turn? That doesn't really happen very often. Usually streets go on forever, but we can't show on forever. Alex will not kill Darius. He knows that that is what they want him to do. Or maybe, you know, so he's like, I'm not going to kill him. AWOL and the bad guys are out there. They're trying to get the kids.
Yep.
Kids go into an alley, but the kids are saved by the hooded Quentin the Magician.
Quentin the Great. I'm so happy they brought him back. This character, I don't know, like, they're not going to give us much more probably than this episode, but I love it. I love this character.
I did write down here there's some good comedy in this episode.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You mentioned earlier with Chase. Yeah. There's a lot of good little lines. Sometimes the lines in the show aren't that great. Like, Gert sometimes gets these lines that are harsh. They're kind of mean to Chase, or they're just kind of like this snarkiness. And it's like... Other times, they're trying to capture what I would say is the epitome of the best version of this, which is the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, of how kids would interact and make comments, be it meta or whatnot. And this show, though, when it gets it right, it gets really close to that. Like you mentioned the thing about Chase. So, yeah, that's
Chase.
Good.
Quentin says something here. He says, he doesn't say it. I wrote down Aloha, but it wasn't what that. It was like, A-lo. Are you part of Aloha or something like that? Or it was
sure
like,
it wasn't AWOL?
No.
Huh?
Might have been AWOL, huh?
I'm just saying, his name is AWOL.
That's the best answer I have there.
Man, you gotta be an AWOL, huh? So they need to get to this prison. So we see a cool magic portal, and we find out that they traveled by shadows.
The magic they do in these things, it's very reminiscent of the Magicians, where it's just like hand magic.
The Magicians being some British TV series?
No. Magicians is a book series that they made into a TV show on the Sci-Fi Network. But
it's
the way
a British thing, wasn't it?
No, not British. What they It's not a British thing. I mean, I'm pretty sure the author is American.
But wasn't everybody on the show British?
No, it takes place in eastern United States.
Oh, okay. Never saw it.
But they do the way they do the magic here, and it like it's synchronized, and like Quentin's doing the magic as well. I think that looks awesome. It's very Doctor Strange like.
So the kids go into the prison, and when they do, we see Quentin left behind, and he screams. Something terrible has happened to him. And then the kids have lots of talking moments while they're walking. So, like, we got to get to prison, but this is going to be a long
walk.
Everybody's split up into pairs so we can have story. It's lost. It's basically lost. It was kind of like, we got to get to the prison, so we're going to take this really fast transport there. We're there. And then now when we're in the prison, we're going to have this long walk.
Scream outside.
It's like instead, if they had just had to walk to the prison and then they could have got in there, but they made the long walk inside there.
The problem is they're walking is super slow to keep up with the camera or whatnot. I don't know. But it's super slow. But I don't mind it, though, because the stuff they're talking about is interesting. I thought Hot Topic was getting a little whiny, though, at this point.
Oh, yeah. It's almost irrational. But again, they did establish, and they talk about this later in this episode, the longer you're in the dark dimension, the more you forget, the more you're...
Sure.
It's messing with your head. It's in the name.
There's we also have a moment here where we find out that Chase is kind of still chasing Gert, and I'm just like, ugh. Why are you chasing her? I guess he's in love, so.
Gert sees a little Molly monster.
Molly monster.
Then something coming after him, the cloak comes in and saves her and Chase. And Gert realizes that the monster was actually a manifestation of her guilt for leaving Molly.
Yes.
That's what she says.
Leaving her behind. Because remember, and I didn't realize this until they mentioned it later. When they were in there last time, 6 months went by. So they've left.
They talk about that at the end, yeah.
And she's guilty. I could be leaving her for years right now.
Which is a great concept.
Yeah.
Ty realizes that he can't hone in on Tandy.
Oh, yeah. So they split up. So there's two different towers. They're in Tower A and Tower B. So they're across the way from each other.
Yeah. Tandy, meanwhile, she touches Nico and she sees her hope because that's what Tandy. Cloak goes to the fear. Tandy goes to the hope. And she sees the wedding. And then Gert sees fear
Not only the wedding, she sees Carolina being light and Nico being the dark. Just the same way that
Cloak and Dagger
are. Yeah.
So as you mentioned, they're in two different towers, and Nico sees them in the other tower, so she makes a really cool bridge to get to the other tower.
This is the music here, I think this is the best scene of the season so far when They start to run. Tandy's got her daggers out and all that. I'm like, here we go.
It's cool, but it doesn't really do it. It's just like we have a great effect to get people from one tower to the other. I liked it, but at the end, it's like, oh, and then how'd that change the story? Well, it just got them all together. It wasn't like that dramatic moment as a resolution.
But it did have that cool look when they're all standing there. Like, I love that Tandy has her daggers out. That's just, and I don't know if they mentioned it earlier. They're like, so what are your powers? He's like, I have fistigons. They're not here, Carolina. My powers don't work in the dark dimension. Like, I have a dinosaur. It's not here. The only people that have powers are Nico.
Yeah.
She's the only one with any powers. And then Tandy and Cloak.
Yeah. Powers thing. I'm reading the comic book right now, and they're dealing again with the fact that everybody's got certain powers, and Gert's like, I got a dinosaur. Okay. You know, it's like, that's her power, and it's like, how does that help you without the dinosaur around?
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like, with Chase, he's still super smart. You know, there's still an intelligence there. Mm-hmm. But Gert doesn't have that. So, I mean, she's not smart.
Yeah.
But.
So Quentin shows up and he's possessed. Mm-hmm. Darius and Alex watch the group fight Quentin. They basically made the conversation here that they were actually the reason Alex, who's been there longer than everybody else, they've actually let him keep his memories to watch them die, as opposed to him losing his memories. Like, thank you for answering that. I had completely forgot about it, but thank you for answering that.
But the minute they said that, the other people started losing their memories. So, like, they had control over people's memories.
Well, they could stop it from happening, and the natural progression of it, I would think. So, Dark Nico uses Black Dagger to kill Quentin.
So this is when, because obviously they made a mention this earlier that no one else can hold Tandy's dagger. But this is Nico, her eyes do that changing thing. And she's like, Tandy, toss me a dagger. And she throws it, and the dagger becomes black. Special effects are going to affect the storyline and affect the moment. That was the moment where it was like, oh, there it is.
It gives them a relevance to the storyline.
And not only that,
really important.
We find out she gets to keep it.
Yes.
She's going to use it later. It's going to come back. Or not.
And Gagger's like, wait, what happens if that? Then I won't have a TV show? No.
I wonder if they can use the dagger to stab the Darkhold.
Yeah, so they kill Quentin, and then we go to Alex. Explain Alex to me here, his whole motivation for what he does and why he does
it. So he goes and kills
his mom.
Because otherwise all of his friends are going to get stuck, or he's going to lose his memory of his friends, or something to that effect.
There you go.
We don't know. We really don't know, because we don't know Alex's end goal other than the scene we see in a little bit.
And this scene was, I think, the best scene in the whole episode.
This is cool, too.
Dagger actually touches him and sees his hope, and his hope is having all of the powers.
What makes it so cool is that he has Old Lace running around him, and Old Lace looks awesome.
He has Old
That's
Lace.
That's a good special effect.
He has Carolina's hand. He's got the staff. He's got the fistigons. He's got Molly's eyes. He's got, you know, the goggles. It's like, I'm like, well, if that's the show, all right, this is watch this one guy run around and do all this
and
great
stuff.
He's got
that wicked looking smile on.
Oh, yeah, it looks fantastic. I was very excited for this scene. I've also written down here, so the dark dementia.
Dark dementia?
Dark dementia. I have dark dementia news. Have you been reading the dark dementia news?
It's gripping.
It's fantastic.
A little biased.
Yes.
Fake news.
It's called CNN. All right,
wow.
So. MSNBC.
Fox News, yes.
And Fox News, yes.
24-hour
cable. That's why I just read The Inquirer. It's the dark dementia is now seeping through into the other world. And we find out that when we go back, they've only been gone 8 hours.
Yes. There's a moment here, and this is what I was talking about earlier about the special effects. There were some great special effects in this. They have this moment here where Old Lace comes running in and they see it. That is not a good special effect. They've done this dinosaur so well, and all of a sudden
the lighting
went,
is not right on the texture and the texture
and
on the dinosaur.
And they have
skin.
They never show like the interaction between.
They didn't
the two
have the puppet
looking.
There. They just had
they
the
didn't.
Dinosaur.
They didn't. Why? Yeah. Why didn't they have the damn puppet?
So as they're saying thereby, they kind of hint towards a crossover to their show. Like, next time you come to our show, and the gang is like, yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We obviously didn't get much closure with Cloak and Dagger because they canceled after 2 seasons.
But well, they cancel everything.
This we got the end of season 2. If you've never seen Cloak and Dagger, spoiler, they literally they get on a bus
and they talk about that at the beginning when they first came. They said we were going to go out and do things.
So that storyline kind of got wrapped up, and so it was nice to see them again, get another swan song with them. Maybe all these people will appear in Agents.
Did you just
say
Ron Swansong?
I did. Okay. I did say Ron Swansong. But so it was nice to have them on the show. Yes. I thought they brought a different level.
Will
to the
we
show.
Ever look back on these couple years from now when we're deep into the Marvel Cinematic Universe TV shows all over Disney Plus and everything and the other movies? We look back like, oh, those Marvel television shows were great, but thank God that they switched to this more cinematic approach. Who knows?
Maybe.
So the episode ends with the coven now has Molly, and instead of her normal light-up eyes, she's got
green eyes. Remember, I used to make a big deal, but they always have to show her eyes. Now it's paying off. They're like, remember that 30 times we showed you her eyes changing up close? Now they're green.
With envy. And that brings us to the end, our second to the last episode of Runaways podcast. What'd you think of these two episodes? They stand up really good?
Yeah, together they're two fantastic episodes. I
think
the first one was okay. This last one I thought was just awesome.
Do you think Cloak and Dagger will show up in any of these final two episodes, like the last one maybe?
I don't think so.
Okay, interesting. I don't know either. It didn't seem like it, but it would not put it past the show
bring
them back.
I don't know if Zavin's going to come back. I don't know if they're going to deal with that storyline.
That's all for season 4. So that brings us to the end of another podcast. We will finish up Runaways in not the next podcast, though, because our next podcast, we will do the movie Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Or as it's been renamed, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. But we have seen it, and so we will be talking about that in our next podcast and then Runaways. So until then, thanks for listening. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.